We're back. Welcome to another episode of Deep Thinking.
37.
The motorcycle road racing podcast. Everything else is merely shadows on the cave wall. He's Ed Sorbo.
Shadows on the cave wall. I like
that. Yeah, thank you.
It's very dark in the cave. Where do you get the shadow from?
It's all literate and shit.
Okay.
It's a...
He's Michael Gugis. He has a giggle problem. He cracks himself up.
Oh, you have no idea, dude. You wish you lived in my head.
No,
much
I don't.
No. Much of it's dark.
We've been over this before.
Dark and scary, but some of it's like Disneyland on acid. You can find my photographs on the web at motorbikeroadracing.smugmug.com. He's Ed Sorbo from Lindemann Engineering, and you can find him on the web at le-suspension.com. You can get your knobs twisted. You can get your clickers clicked. You can get your spring sprung. But you will go faster and you will have more fun. I'm telling you, man, a good handling bike just makes the day go that much better.
So like to play word games,
right?
As you've noticed,
since
we're both somewhat literate.
Right.
So Hickory Farms basket thingamabobby,
right? Right.
So on Facebook, one of the people that follows me, and that would be Brady Berkheimer.
Hi, Brady.
She had a line that's worthy of quoting on the world's best motorcycle podcast.
I'm ready.
She says, "I'm going to come at you like a basket of Hickory Farms."
God bless you, Brady.
Ding, 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 ding. For
that's
that, you get it mentioned on your favorite
absolutely,
show.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Ed, I'm a genius.
I know that.
I have it figured out.
Yes, you do.
Ready?
I am ready.
Okay, do you want to know why Mark Marquez has been unable or unwilling to settle for second place in any of those races that he's crashed out of this year?
Yes, I do, Michael. Will you tell me?
Why? Why? What's your theory? And then I'll explain to you why you're wrong.
So, folks, in case you don't know it, if you go to like a meeting in the military and they're talking about ideas and plans and things like that, the lowest ranking dude in the meeting has to say his idea first and
right.
It goes up the ranks. And it's not so the most ranking guy can steal the low ranking guy's ideas. It's because if the general says what he thinks first,
and it's awful,
it's likely that the low ranking guys are just going to go along to protect their careers, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So they make the low ranking guys go first. So Michael's trying to pull that shit on me.
Do you think it's just personality?
You know, so it's fun to make a answer and make a poster and put it on social media that makes it sound like it's all just this one thing.
What is
right?
the social media thing you keep talking about?
He can't accept second place because of his personality or because his mom was mean to him or whatever, right? But the reality
That's
is
Max Biaggi.
He it's not that he can't accept second place. It's that he wants first really, really bad. Which is a freaking requirement to be a world champion of anything,
right?
How'd you become world champion? My goal was to take second and all that, right? That person doesn't exist.
I was
right?
How'd you become world champion? I was willing to settle for points.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I worked out when I felt like it. No, it didn't happen. I don't have an answer for you.
That's you know what, Ed? That's probably way more accurate than my answer.
Okay.
But what the hell? My theory is entertaining. Okay. What is Mark Marquez's job? His job is
Sell motorcycles.
Sell Honda motorcycles,
yes.
Right? How do you sell Honda motorcycles? By proving Honda is fastest.
Yep.
You don't sell the motorcycle by winning champion. You don't sell the bike by winning championships. You sell by winning races.
Yep.
Mark doesn't care if he loses the championship this year. This is
Well, he cares because he gets more money if he does win it.
Well, I really wonder at this point in his career.
I'm sure there's a bonus.
I'm not. I'm really
you think
not.
You think they gave him a flat rate contract?
I think they gave him, Jesus
They're
Christ,
like, this
how
guy's
much,
motivated no matter
how
what.
How much money do you want? Please don't go ride for Yamaha.
Whatever, go on.
Right? So all he cares about is winning races because his job is to sell bikes.
Yep.
He doesn't care if he loses the championship this year because he knows that if it doesn't happen this year, he'll get it next year. And if he only winds up with 6 world championships, oh well. There's a danger, there's a real danger in ever starting to adopt that mindset of I can settle for second, I can settle for third.
Well, at this point, he can't win the championship.
Oh, I disagree.
So the only thing he can do is go, well, the only way he could win the championship would be to win every single race and hope the other guys have trouble. So yeah, he can't accept second place. So you got a circular argument going, right?
No, I meant before. First part of the year.
Yeah, but now...
Right, now, okay.
What happened in the first part of the year is done. You can't change it.
No, but I'm saying... what I'm saying is this is why. Their mindset, their whole mindset is, we don't care about titles. We're just going to win every race. And we're going to win every race. Every race we win sells Honda motorcycles, makes Honda happy. They keep pouring money into the GP. They keep giving me a contract. If he winds up, and I don't think this is unrealistic, okay? Rossi might win the championship this year. I doubt it, but he
might. Lorenzo might win, too.
Yeah, no, there's a good chance, a really good chance that Lorenzo will. But
you hear that, folks?
There's a good
Michael's starting to come around.
No. I'm not. Believe me.
Here comes the denial again.
No, my return to sanity is not
something. It'll be brief.
No.
Get to the point, please.
There is a point. Right. Let's say Rossi wins.
Okay.
He gets 10 championships.
Yep.
10 years from now, Marquez retires with 7.
Okay.
Do you think Marquez is going to be really upset about having 7? I disagree.
So the way that these guys' minds work,
right,
is that all of the things that people say, he can't take second, he won't be upset, he will be upset, all of those things are true.
Right.
It just depends on when you look inside their mind, they happen to have that thought. So there will be the night where he's trying to fall asleep, and he'll be like, fucking Rossi, I could have had 3 more championships. And he'll have, you know, these reasons that'll be like totally true. Okay, but then other days he'll be sitting on the beach going, ah, fuck, 3 more, 7,
doesn't
10,
matter,
after
man.
5, you're an ace, fuck it. You know, so that's the problem with these kind of questions.
That's a really interesting point.
Right?
Every
single answer is true a little bit at the right time.
There's a guy named John Love, okay, he drove Formula One in the 60s. He bought, I think it was a Brabham, he's from South Africa. Ran in the South African GP, privateer. He bought a car and led the whole race, lost the mechanical or ran out of fuel, something like that, and finished second or something like that. Anyway, it was going to be his one and only Formula One win. Okay, somebody asked him years later, "Do you think it changed your life not winning that race?" He goes, "Nah," you know. I'm like, that's. I think that's their attitude. Screw it all. We're going to put as many wins on the board as we can.
No, what he meant, it didn't change. If he had won that race,
yeah, wouldn't have changed.
The powers that be would have saw that it was a one-off fluke, just like Ashmead winning Daytona, and they weren't going to call him up and give him a factory ride.
Right.
Whether he winning would have been nice, he would have got a bigger paycheck, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it would not have changed his course of his life.
Right.
Course of his life is more like a ship. It's only going to change direction a little bit at a time.
Unless you make really big changes at the helm.
There is a way to make big changes in your personal riding.
Uh-oh.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go through a few examples.
Wait, have we said hi to Brady yet?
We did.
Hey, Brady.
She's all happy now.
Right.
So I've been talking about Wira.
Right.
And why I'm supporting Wira as much as I can.
You just came back from Miller with them.
I just came back from Miller. I'm working as an official for them. I'm doing everything I can. I want everybody to know that I think that if you're in Southern California neighborhood, you should be racing with Wira. That's the best choice of clubs in our region for a long list of reasons. And the simple version is Wira's been doing it longer, more correctly than anybody. And so one of the ways that I'm supporting Wira is if you're at a Wira event that I'm at, and I'm there racing for myself and working as an official.
Right.
If you want to come by, I'm willing to give you advice on your setup and or your riding or both. So when we were at Miller, a kid with an R6 was doing 207 lap times on Friday in the track day.
Got it.
So Friday night, he hears about me. He brings his bike over. He actually came and talked to me first. I said, go get your bike. Bring me your bike. Let me bounce on it. So while bouncing on his bike, I noticed the steering head bearings are loose. So we tightened those up. And then I adjusted the clickers my normal way.
Right.
On Saturday, in Wira practice, he dropped his lap times to 2:02 in the morning. 5-second improvement from changing clickers. And now, the steering head bearing, that's probably good for 2 seconds right there.
Right.
But the rest was me.
All and the time some he point... saved on not washing underwear. Right.
Okay. And then Tommy, the Wira race director, finally listened to me on the tire pressure advice I was giving him. And when he came in from his race after making the tire pressure change that I recommended, which is lower pressure, He didn't even take his gear off before he posted on Facebook, "When Ed Sorbo speaks, shut up and listen. I finally listened to what Sorbo's been telling me to do. Podium. Enough said." That's what is his post.
Cool.
There was a bunch of guys that I worked on their bikes, and I can't remember all their faces, but multiple people as I'm walking through the pits are riding by on their bikes, heading out, giving me big thumbs up because obviously they're happy with my changes. There was a kid on the SV. I was loading up on Sunday night.
Right.
All done. I'm like the last guy to finish loading because I had so much stuff. And this kid walks up and he goes, "Hey, were you on the red and black 250 Ninja?"
Right.
And I said, "Yes, I was." He goes, "Hey, thanks for the line you showed me when you passed me in practice going into the attitudes. That was way better and I used it. It helped a lot."
Cool.
So
I found him, by the way. I'm gonna look him up, see if I can do a kids page on him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Cool. And what was the other one? Oh, the Tommy pitted in the garage next to me where the SV650 was killing his rear tire and struggling.
Oh, Tony.
Tony, yes, right, Tony. Right. Sorry, not Tommy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I adjusted his clickers and his tire pressure. He went out for his four-lap race, and in four laps, all the chewed-up part of the tire went away and turned into a proper-looking tire, and he went 2 seconds faster.
Wow.
So the next WIRA race is August 30th at Fontana.
Right.
I will be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Garage 60.
Are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there. I'm racing with WIRA.
Cool.
So if you want some help, come see me, and we will twiddle your clickers and talk about your lines. And the sooner you come see me, the better.
Are you going to be doing tech on Saturday afternoon?
Yes.
Remember the conversation we had last podcast about how tech guys need to be cool to other racers? Ed,
yes.
I'm going to be there late Saturday afternoon.
I wired your bike, Michael.
I know.
I think it's going to pass.
You think it's going to pass?
I think it's already been checked by me.
Excellent. All right. This is so much fun. I get to leave school on Saturday afternoon. My students are like, "What are you going to do this weekend, Professor?" "Race my leader bike. What are you guys doing?" "Nothing." It's like, "Grow up, you little shits." Sorry.
So
get a life.
Let's put
your goddamn Facebook
down. Coming to
down.
The track early.
Yeah.
The night before and getting your tech done.
Absolutely.
Because it's easier for us, the tech inspectors. I mean, right. We're happy. Let's say tech ends at 6:30 or whenever. I don't know when it ends. Whenever it ends.
Right.
If I stay till 7, that's not hurting my race effort in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's nighttime already.
Right.
You know? But it's that many less people the next morning. When, if you're late, you're messing up with my chance to go practice.
More than that.
You have time to fix shit if it's not good.
And the fewer things you have to do on Sunday
in the morning,
the better your head is.
So you come to tech. Well, first, you get to the track, you grab yourself a garage.
Right.
Because when you go to Fontana to race with WIRA, the garages are free. How cool is that?
Right.
You just got to, you know, you can't be just you. Share. Move at least four people into each garage.
Right.
You can fit six guys in one garage, no problem. Okay, so you get there, you get your garage, then you roll your bike over for tech inspection, you get your sticker, you take your bike back, you put it up on the stands, you put the
warmers on,
set your pressure. All you got to do in the morning is remember to wake up and plug in the tire warmers, right?
And the coffee pot.
And the coffee, well, yeah, if
right?
you do the coffee pot, you'll remember the warmers.
Right, put it right next to the two.
So, I was driving home from Miller.
Right.
I didn't have AC in the van.
Oh, we're still going to talk about
this. That's great. Motorhome has two ACs. It's got the roof one, house AC, and it's got the conventional one and the engine in the van. I couldn't use the conventional one. So what did I do, Michael?
You
went to Walmart and got a heater exhaust hose and ran the cool air from the roof AC directly down onto my head while in the cab while I'm
Hence
driving.
Hence the new nickname for Ed.
Cool head Ed.
Well done. Oh, God,
hey,
Ed, you're a genius.
In our last podcast.
Wait a minute. Do you remember the time you tried the ice trick?
I did. It didn't work.
Talk about the ice trick. Yeah?
So the AC failed in the Road Racing World box van while I was driving to Laguna one year in the full-on 7 billion degree summertime. So on the drive back, I thought I'd be real smart. I took my Road Racing World credit card. And I bought gas at a 7-Eleven or someplace like that.
Right.
And I bought literally 20 bags of ice. And I filled the cab. I left the bags in the bags, ice in the
bags.
I had bags on the dash. I had bags on the floor. I had a plastic bin full of ice. And I thought, all right, I'll roll up the windows and I'll have all this cool air. Nope. I could put my hand in the ice and freeze my hand. But
no effect on the ambient temperature.
A quarter inch above the ice, it was fucking 300 degrees still. You got to have like a fan and some water and a better system to make it actually work.
Oh,
so
man.
In our last podcast, you, Michael Gouges, hoodwinked me. Hoodwinked
That's
me.
A distinct possibility.
And you like it, I know. You asked me about the two Superbike, World Superbike teammates And the one spies wasn't a Scott who?
Tom Sykes, and didn't let Jonathan Ray pass.
And the thing that you did, and I'm like, yeah, so what? You didn't tell me I have to let him pass by. The thing you didn't tell me is that Rhea has like a 100-point lead over second place in a championship.
Right.
So the results are irrelevant for the championship.
Right.
So, of course, he's not going to give it to him.
It supports your point. You know,
I'm saying that the only time you'd ever consider letting your teammate beat you is if it's for the championship.
See, that's where I disagree. Because I think if Sykes had let Ray go by earlier, Ray could have caught Davies. And that was...
How does that help Sykes? It doesn't.
No. You got to look at these things. You got to be a team player, Ed.
No, my point is you don't have to be a team player when one guy has a 100-point lead.
Well, no.
Here's one for you that might really happen.
Hold on. Let me just finish.
You've already lost.
No, I disagree. I've won. Let me explain to you why you've lost. Here's why. Ed, what is the first and primary goal of the professional road racer?
To win.
No. To get paid for doing their job.
Yes, but so, if his contract doesn't say you got to let your teammate buy, he still gets paid.
The more your team wins, the more the knuckleheads back at the factory in the boardroom are like, oh yeah, we'll keep writing checks to the racing team.
That's fine, but you can't expect the guy to think about that in the race.
Ah, well, yes, you
gotta
can.
You got to talk about it before the race.
Well, he should have been thinking about it. If I know, Ed, for a fact, you and I are running second and third. I'm ahead of you. I know I can't catch Tony Serra because Tony's fast, right? I know that we're on the same team. We've got commingled budgets.
Ability to think this way,
right,
is one of the reasons why you will never be a professional guy getting paid to win races.
Those guys
can't think like that.
They can only think.
This is in their brain. Okay, you ready?
They're walking.
They wake up in the morning and they're still kind of not awake. They're like, win. And then when they've had their coffee, they're like, win, 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 win. And when they're on the pre-grid, it's all win, 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 win. That's all they think about. Get it through your head.
That's all they can do. That's all that's left. Oh, man.
You know the hippopotamus song?
No.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
No.
Yeah, it's a great Christmas song.
Stop singing that. It's hurting me.
So you want to know what I think about when I'm racing?
What?
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll. Don't want a tiki toy. Want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Play with that and enjoy. Really fast. You get it?
No. Ed, I don't get it. You lost me at hippopotamus.
You can't. I lost you a long time. You can't even find my draft.
No, because I'm terrified of what's coming out of there. This is puts me in the dark and scary place, not the Disneyland on acid space, Ed. By the way, World Superbikes this weekend, Tom tried that again. Sykes is really, really good at getting out of the blocks on that bike, but for about 3 or 4 years now, he struggled to keep the rear tire intact for the whole race. And this is one of the things we've alluded to it a number of times. This weekend, race one, he's got a 3-second lead halfway through, right? The race is over. But, obviously he's eaten up his tire. And all of a sudden, his lead goes 3.2, 3.0, 2.8, 1.7, 0.3.
Okay.
Wait, hang on. Chaz Davies, Chaz Davies.
Michael, stick to one topic.
Chaz Davies on the Ducati comes by Sykes, who's on the Kawasaki. Davies and Jonathan Ray, who's also on the Kawasaki.
Yes, we know.
Right? Okay, we've established that now, right?
Green bikes and red bikes.
Davies goes by, Sykes goes, bah, and just chops the nose off of Ray. And holds him up for 5 corners, giving Davies, on the opposing team, about a second of a lead. Now Ray runs him down, and with the end, the last corner on both of those races is spectacular. But the point is, I got to be thinking about if I've lost 4 seconds in 3
laps.
You
keep going back to you. Right. You're not one of these guys, Michael.
Yeah, and you know what? And you're absolutely right. Sykes's wife had a baby like on Friday. He's racing.
Of course
I don't get
he's
that.
Racing. It's his job. She knew that when she... Look at...
I know.
People in the military, their wives have babies while the guys are gone on 6-month deployment all the time.
I know.
Two-minute boarding.
Two-minute boarding. Hey, shout out to one of my favorite racers of all time, Mad Max Biaggi. Okay? He's been in retirement since 2012. Hanging up. He's got the best gig on the planet. He's a test rider for Aprilia. He gets to ride their MotoGP bike. He gets to ride their World Superbike. He's a
condom tester was the best gig in the world.
No, because you think about the stress testing. You know, here, you got to do this really ugly person. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, go on. So Max has been testing for who?
Give me three condoms. Who's, two for my willy and one to pull over my head.
Who's
so I
Max
can
testing for?
Aprilia.
Right. And then he did what in the race?
He did two wild cards.
He got two wild cards. Why?
Because quite frankly, the riders they've got this year aren't really living up to expectations. But number two, it's good publicity. Max has resurrected his reputation. He's no longer the psycho Mad Max of 2004. He's beloved in Italy. He's a commentator on TV. And so they thought, hey, publicity stunt. It's not going to hurt. Not only...
He's hurting his teammates who are getting spanked by the old guy.
He's spanked. It's like, thanks for making
us
look bad.
He's been getting up at 10 o'clock and wearing bedroom shifts and scratching his balls
exactly.
And eating bonbons while they've been out exercising.
Right?
And then he beats them.
He shows up and let me show you guys how this is done. Puts it on the podium, 71st podium in World Superbikes, and the biggest balls move of all, okay, is after the race, he reveals that he's been riding. He had a crash last week in testing. Dislocated shoulder and stitches on his ankle. Boom! That wet plopping sound you heard.
That's the sign of a true pro racer, right? You save your excuses until you need them.
Right?
He could have said afterwards, well, I didn't tell you guys, but I had these problems, and that's why I got fifth.
Right.
But instead, he gets to say on the podium, oh, guess what, by the way?
Exactly.
He's Michael Gugis.
He's
a genius.
He's Ed Sorbo. Aloha.